Hello, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
Welcome to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We are digital producers at BravoTV.com, coming to you from the Bravo offices in Rockefeller Center.
So, I got a memo today.
Yes.
Okay, well, as most people know by now, Megan King Edmonds is not coming back to The Real Housewives of Orange County. I found out who else may or may not be coming back.
Okay, so what Megan's saying, sometimes we find out, because really, the truth is at the end of a season, we don't know if the show is coming back. We don't know if they're going to completely recast everyone, like that one season of Roni when they casted like seven new people and like two originals came back. So we often get confirmation emails for when people are just coming back, full stop.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes either way.
Right, because, I mean, I still get excited every season when it's announced Lisa Vanderpump is coming back.
Right, like, absolutely.
You want to make sure certain people are coming back.
But, yeah, it really is up in the air.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have the key to that information. I thought it would
change. Can you tell me?
Should I? Can I?
Can we bleep it?
This is producer Grace. I can't use any of what they just talked about, but I'll stick it in the Daily Dish archive and play it for you once the future of Orange County is officially announced.
Anyway, I was going to talk about something that I did this week that was very Housewives related, but it actually has an Atlanta tie.
Okay.
So I figure we can just get into talking about Atlanta, and then I'll also talk about what I did this week.
All right. So let's do it.
All right.
I'm going to say in general this week I felt like a common theme amongst the shows, and that was just the word bizarre. A lot of bizarre things happening. Like for me, Kenya, a little bizarre these last two episodes.
I mean, I was shocked last week when she was like,
I don't give a about any of them bitches. These motherfuckers. The whole table is stupid as
And I'm like, Cynthia's at that table.
It was a little eye-opening in how she feels about the rest of the ladies.
But we always knew. I feel like she always came in to stir shit up.
Yeah. But you want to believe that
she has Cynthia.
Yeah.
I know.
So that was weird. And then this episode, there was a lot of talk about her husband in a way that just did not... Like, the word I wrote was vom. Like, vom to a lot of the stuff she had to say about that.
Well, they're in that workout equipment store.
Right.
And because she needs to buy gym stuff for Mark.
Yeah.
And she's talking about how, like...
Being a wife is completely different from being a girlfriend. Yep. That is for sure.
Being a wife is so different than being a girlfriend, which I wanted to ask you, is that true?
If you're a long-term girlfriend, no. Like, if you're living together, no.
Right. I was like, what changes so much?
Well, because what she then said was,
you have to always have your energy up. You always have to be sexy.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but like, I think girlfriends generally stay sexy as well.
Right. I mean, or like, you just want to be attractive to someone, like, always is nice, you know? And I don't think the transition from girlfriend to wife changes that.
Right. Also, just how it takes up so much time. She has to keep the house in order. She has to buy things for the dog.
You always have to keep the house together. You have to keep the travel schedule. Do we have washing powder for the clothes that need to be cleaned? Take care of the dogs. I have to take it to the vet. I have to make sure they're walked. And then I have to take care of my husband. I have to make sure he likes to walk.
No, that's what you're describing is not like a conventional marriage.
It's an assistant.
Yes.
At one point she says, I have to make sure he likes to go on walks. And I was like, what? You have to make sure your husband goes on walks? Then nothing makes sense. So I think that she's just kind of in a place, and I'm going to say that maybe it's because she has to live two different lives right now.
Right.
Which is stressful, I can imagine.
Yeah.
And if he can't be on it, she has to talk about her marriage in some way, but he doesn't want her to talk about it at all.
I think also there are just people that use being a newlywed as an excuse to be like, this is what sets me apart from you. Like, yeah, no, your life is great, but like, I'm married now and it's so different. You always, and it's just like, no.
I had a friend like that. She always describes it like, I mean, I'm just really lucky. I was like, yeah.
sounds like a bitch.
You know who you are. But something else is happening this week, which is Candy is on the cover of Essence.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. I was at the gym and I saw her on the cover of Essence like a few months ago. And I was like, oh, Candy.
Yeah. So. Okay. I have to say it made me like, so Eva, who we know because we talked about it last time, like she's a winner of America's Next Top Model. And on the way to Candy's party, she's like, oh, that was one of the first covers I did.
Let me tell you something. That was one of my first covers I ever did was Essence.
I did.
Which I think she was just genuinely excited. But it's also like Candy's worked her whole career and then got this, as opposed to this like 19-year-old who just popped out of nowhere.
Right. But she won America's Next Top Model.
That's true. That's true. And she's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. Every time she's on the screen, I'm just like, oh, my God, this woman is so beautiful. In person, she must just be like,
no, I don't think I could
burn
take
out
it.
Of your
yeah.
head. Yeah, yeah.
We would not be taking a photo or boomerang with her.
No. No, it would just be of her, and then I would post that to my Instagram. Right. Or it would be like, who are these ogres? Yes. Human.
I have a fun fact.
About Eva?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
I think so. Do you know what her...
Still unclear then.
Her given last name is?
Longoria?
No. Very close. Pigford.
Oh, I did know that. Andrew brought that up the other day.
And what's her real name? I mean, her name now.
Like, her professional name is Eva Marseille, but...
Oh.
Much better.
Right. I think that brings a beautiful person down to earth.
Oh, when your name is Pigford?
My favorite
Piggy.
Is finding out celebs' real names. Like,
is Kenya Moore's name really Moore?
Like Olivia Wilde is Olivia Cockburn.
That's a good one.
Really good one.
That's hard to grow up with.
Right. Back to Eva. She's new. She's here. And takes no time stirring it up.
I love so many things about her. A, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
B, that it took no time. And then... After creating this, she walks down to Will's like, well, this is messy.
This is quite messy.
As if she had nothing to do with it. And I genuinely love that she did that.
Right.
Like, I'm not taking ownership of this. You're the messy one.
But yeah, evidence keeps stacking up against him. He seems a little shady.
I know.
Because, like, honestly, not that big of a deal. Like, they're both not exclusive. It's just the way he's framing things to different people.
Right. So what happened is Eva's telling Nene on the way to Candy's Essence cover party, which Portia was wearing a dress that Beyonce wore, by the way, on her Instagram. Go check it out. Eva was telling Nene that Will, she met him 2 months ago.
I met Will at a really nice cigar bar, and we met his girl, who was a beautiful girl. I remember
his girl, like, girlfriend.
And Nene was like,
wait, girlfriend, like,
well, they
girlfriend,
were, like, yeah, like, his girlfriend.
Oh.
Now, you know, relationships might die, so they might have broken up that night.
That night.
Because that's, like, the timelines are very similar to when he was with Cynthia. And the whole time I kept thinking, but Cynthia and him aren't exclusive.
Right.
Like, if he was there with a girl, what does it matter? But the thing that everyone's focusing on is, if that's his girlfriend, then that's like a line that's not okay. It was just like some girl he was dating too.
Right.
But if she knows his kid, if it's like that serious, then like she doesn't want to be his side piece.
I think what it comes down to is he is just someone who will say whatever, like makes him look good in that moment. So he says to her at this party, oh, it's my girlfriend. She gets along great with my kid. And then to Cynthia, he's like, no, it was just the girl I was dating.
Mm.
Which is it, Will?
Right. And then, yeah, he's confronted. And then he gets pretty angry about it, which I felt like was not the best.
Right.
Because it just, if you're getting that hyped about something, I think it's like because you're getting caught in a lie. Because if you had nothing, you'd just be like, no, she wasn't my girlfriend. You misunderstood. Like, I was dating her, but, like, we have an open relationship.
Yeah.
The end.
The end.
But I also, I had a bit of a, I feel like we're getting to the point that a lot of people, as we know with Mark and Kenya, are hesitant entering this world. We see it a lot on Vanderpump Rules, of people's significant others hesitant to come in because they don't want to be ambushed. They don't want to get all in the drama. They don't want that to affect their relationship. So I had maybe a slight feeling that maybe he was just like, I knew this was going to become like a whole thing. We can't just be in a relationship and have it us go through it naturally. Everybody's going to get up in our business, and I'm getting annoyed about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what it was.
And if your hands are clean, should you care?
I don't know. I know. Good question. I did write down, because he's so smooth all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes outside and he can tell Cynthia's upset, and he's like, I see a different story in your eyes.
What's up?
Nothing. One second.
I see a different story in your eyes.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I know. So I was like, oh, man, this guy is so smooth. And I think that the other reason why he got mad is, like, he couldn't smooth it out. He was caught by surprise.
Right. Also, Cynthia, where are your shoes?
And poor Cynthia, she's walking around barefoot.
Yes. Oh, I had another theory, though. I don't know Eva. This is my first meeting of her other than on America's Next Top Model.
Right.
But she seemed pretty annoyed that he had used her on Instagram.
Yes.
So I was like, is this what it's about?
You put on Instagram that you know me and Michael, which is not fast
First of all, I didn't say I know you all
that. You made, no. You said after a day of campaigning.
So supporting you is knowing you.
You did. What did you support?
Well, don't do it. Don't pretend you know someone just because they're famous.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Is she only bringing it up so she can be like, I don't like that you did this?
But I think, but you don't think she's lying, do you?
I don't think that she's lying, but I think that maybe she's not going to necessarily let it go or like not bring it up because she's already annoyed with him.
But guess what? No matter what the reason is that she brought it up, now Portia might have some info too.
Oh, I know. To be continued again this season.
You see anybody that I'm dealing with, and they tell him you got a girlfriend, call at me, because I want to know.
Thank you.
I'm
you
way too old. I want to know.
So I, what?
You know something?
Since you asked.
What?
Portia, what do you know?
What do you know? What was your housewives moment?
Thank you for reminding me. So Candy announces that she's going to be Mama Morton in Chicago.
Right.
And I watched it today, and I just saw Chicago with Candy last night.
How was it?
Amazing. I have never seen Chicago on Broadway, so that was exciting for me anyway. But she's so good. Like, I would never lie about Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so great. Like, she's so talented.
It didn't, like, take you out of it knowing, like, that's Candy.
No, because she, like, and these are performers that are up there with Chicago in particular. They've all done this show for a very, very long time. So, like, she held her own with them. She acted. It wasn't like, oh, I can see you acting, or, like, she just did a really good job. And she sounded amazing, which I knew that she would, but, like, it wasn't like, sometimes when you put a pop singer into Broadway, it's like, doesn't go well.
Right.
But I was so impressed with her. I just was like, why are you not in everything and doing more?
Maybe she should. I mean, I know her play that she was trying to get off the ground didn't really work out, but maybe Broadway is where she should be dabbling more.
Yes. If there's a new TV musical, she should star in it. Grace is like, Smash Revival.
Okay, all I ever want in life is a Smash Revival.
I think I need to rewatch that show because really everyone don't. Is so passionate about it, but I'm like, I just remember it being okay.
No, you gotta give yourself over. I was listening to Broadway Here I Come literally on the train this morning. Anywho, she could be in a Smash Revival, but there's also this new NBC musical theater show.
Yes.
Rise, I think it's called.
The one with Ted Mosby.
Ted Mosby, theater teacher. There's like a whole, it's kind of like Glee meets Friday Night Lights is the vibe I'm getting.
Yes.
And Fair I want her eyes. On it.
She Full could hearts. Be on it.
Can't dance.
Oh!
Anywho.
You can't write it, folks.
But also, what about the live things that we do? Live musicals?
Oh my God, she should have, she should be in those. Can't. Please, listeners, if you are casting agents, cast Candy Moore.
All right, so we need to move on to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We only touched on it briefly last week, and we kind of missed something, I would think, because it came over into this episode.
Oh, yes. Right. Because it's been so long. We just wanted to relive it.
And we're talking about the glass issue.
Can we as a society decide a different word for gate? Like, can, like, someone, it's not me, I'm not the person, but someone out, Sarah Huckabee, somebody.
Well, I said glass issue.
I know you did, yeah. But I just immediately thought glass gate, and I was mad at myself.
Do you mind if I switch glasses to the wine glass and have just a little Vanderpump Rosé? Because, okay. You know, I feel like, I shouldn't be drinking the wine out of the champagne glass.
Oh.
It's one of those OCD things.
Well, no, you know what? I would feel the same, I think.
No, it was an oversight.
No, I get it.
So this was champagne.
But they served her wine in the champagne glass, and it just feels like, I think this.
I
don't
know
why. It's
no,
like,
I totally
drink.
Get it.
I feel like
like, it's, you know, you need it
needs
in...
to go in the right glass.
I understand glasses for certain things, but I don't give a shit. I also grew up in Oregon, so like, I drank most of my alcohol out of red Solo cups.
I don't know about you, my understanding of that was, yeah, Dorit likes to drink out of a certain glass, but also wasn't making a big deal out of it. She just asked the waiter, could you change my glass, and said, I'm OCD about it. I'm just weird about it.
The fact that she said it's like one of my OCD weird things, admitting that, like, I know this is obnoxious, I'm sorry,
yeah,
is one thing, but it is obnoxious.
Right.
So I don't know. And I give Teddy some credit because she, I think, bringing it up to Lisa Vanderpump was like, I still feel uneasy around these girls. Like, this is something that happened as an example for, like, these people are really fancy. Not like, and I was mad at Dorit because she did
no,
this.
I agree. She handled it like a pro. She was like, no, I'm not going to tell you who it was.
Maybe it's my own thing, but when I come in and somebody says, oh, they poured my wine in the wrong glass to me, I'm like, I don't care, then go take
who
it.
Who said
it.
That?
It doesn't matter.
I just don't care about that
who
kind
said
of
they
stuff.
Put the wine?
It doesn't matter.
Now I'm really interested.
No, but
who said that?
I'm not going to tell
oh,
you,
God
Lisa.
God
but
say.
The point is-
but Dorit, of course, found out because Lisa Vanderpump told her the story. It's Dorit lost me with how she handled it at the party.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get to that.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with PK's party because it was kind of a crazy, over-the-top affair. But so sweet.
Yes, when he was crying, I just was like,
happy birthday.
Thank you. It's too much to take in. Mom, my dad.
Yeah. To see PK completely overwhelmed is just wonderful, really.
In tears after seeing his mom and dad because they surprised him. Oh, I think this might be the thing.
Well, I was thinking about when he saw his brother and then I think like another mate of his, he's like, oh, you're gonna do my head in, and I was just like, ah.
I know, that's why I always say though, like, we don't really know a person on the show until you see them with their family. It's like a such more well-rounded idea of who they are.
Well, what you're saying is we don't see the best side of them sometimes,
right?
Because I feel like around your family is when you're always going to be your best side. Well, maybe that's not true.
I just
not
think
always.
it just showed a softer side of PK.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You sing. Thoughts on Dorit's performance?
Much I love you. Never know how much I care.
Yeah, Dorit.
When you put your arms around me, you get a fever that's so hard to bear. You get the fever.
I couldn't hear her.
I couldn't hear her, so I can't speak to her singing.
And I don't know if it's because just so you guys know, Rachel and I watched a rough cut of the episode.
Right, so I don't know if like later on those vocals are going to be bumped up a little bit.
But from what we saw, like even turning it up, I could not hear her.
And to Erica Jane's point, or Erica Girardi's point, it's a very talk-singy song.
Yeah.
You're like, never know. It's like very, just can talk it.
The perfect song. I was like, you know what? This is a talky song. It's like a talky song.
That's what
song.
I told her. She's like, I'm not a singer. I'm like, that's not the point. Act it out. Song. Channel your best Billie Holiday.
But, okay, because what I kept thinking of course, was the Mad Men Megan singing at the party.
Oh, wait, what was that song?
Zooby, zooby, zoo.
Oh, I love that song.
Zooby, zooby, zoo. Yep. So I was like, this is not that.
Because you liked Megan's performance.
I didn't like that necessarily, but like, she was very sexy doing it.
Right.
And not awkward. And I felt like Dorit was a little more awkward than I would have thought.
Well,
because she's very sexy.
Yes. But, you know, I'm sure being on stage and performing.
Oh, yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. And I think she was nervous. Yes. And, like, all of it. But it wasn't... But I will agree with Lisa. It wasn't terrible.
Right.
It's actually not bad. It's actually better than I expected.
And it was like, I think it was so charming that that helped. Like, it wasn't like, wow, this person's really trying to sing and, like, they can't. It was more like, oh, she's trying to do this fun, sweet thing for her husband.
And I love that out of her performance, we got a flashback to Mikey Minden working with Gretchen from Real Housewives of Orange County
when
she was doing Pussycat Dolls.
Walk, diva, Beyonce, and work it. Work it. You're singing to the audience. Hip, hip, hip.
That was so amazing. And then we got more Erica and Dorit friendship this week.
Yes. I like seeing them together.
Yeah, that whole rehearsal scene and Erica pumping her up. And then backstage at the boat. And she was like,
Dorit, it's going to be adorable. Just get out there. Have fun. Do what we did in rehearsal.
That was just really sweet. Like, I think Erica's a very sweet person.
Yes.
And speaking of Erica Jane, it's time for...
Eric J. Mack with the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
The first moment, I have two moments this week. So the first moment was her coaching Dorit as she prepared to sing for PK's birthday. Yeah, so she's giving her all these really wonderful tips. She's like, shake your hips, do this, like give a little this here and there. And then at one point towards the end when she's telling her how to like wrap up the performance, she says,
Worse. It's like hooking on Sunset. So it's much worse.
Which was actually her second reference to Pretty Woman in the episode. I mean, she said something earlier on when she was shopping with Kyle about... how she used to go into the stores and they used to like not want to sell it to her, and now she walks in and buys whatever she wants.
I remember seeing a Pretty Woman when just she was shopping and they
just
wouldn't help
big,
her.
Big yeah. Mistake.
That was bullish.
That feels like me every day.
If I could interject.
Yes.
It was that moment that I was like, you know what? That's why I love her marriage to Mr. Girardi so much. Because like when we go home and we enjoy the things that we've accumulated, we worked so hard for them. She got to step into a life of riches that had already been created. How
it's
amazing
true.
Would that be?
It's true. And she seems to appreciate that, too. She mentioned something about it on the episode. She says, like,
I was a cocktail waitress, and he was my customer for a year before we ever went out on a date. So, motherfucker, I am Pretty Woman, okay? Let's be very serious.
So you can tell that there's, like, authenticity there, and it's true. She kind of, like, stepped into that, but she's really making the most of that situation, I think.
Yeah.
So my second moment, which Rachel, I think in particular, you'll probably appreciate, was the look she was giving at PK's birthday party, because the first thing I thought when I saw it was First Wives Club.
Yeah,
like that was her First Wives Club look. I mean, it was like the hair and everything, and especially when Lisa Vanderpump let her the fur. I mean, completed the look in such a beautiful way. But that full suit, I mean, I love me a lady in a suit, and I think she looks so good in that.
Who do we think she would be in First Wives Club?
I mean, obviously. I guess she'd have to be Elise Elliot for sure.
Obviously.
Absolutely. Or she could be like the fourth one who's like, you know, there's Annie, Elise, and Brenda.
Brenda.
She could be Brenda.
Brenda's too sad.
Brenda has a good sense of humor, though, because she is
she's hilarious.
Midler, of course. I mean, I could talk about this all day.
I know. So. I'm just thinking, the windows are the eyes. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
But let's go back to the boat with this Dorit and Teddy clash.
That conversation between Dorit and Teddy.
Ooh.
On the boat at the party.
Yes.
Okay, because... Again, this is where I was like, this is just bizarre, because we were going from Teddy and Dorit kind of like fine talking about it, which is the whole glass issue, and then Dorit getting a little condescending about, well, yeah, that's just etiquette.
The fact that I know a wine glass other than a champagne glass is etiquette.
And then that doesn't make Teddy happy. But then you had Kyle interjecting, which I thought was fine. She was just trying to help Teddy out. And then it got like a little vicious almost.
Well, I just it registered to her.
It registered.
Which is what? Which is?
Are you her mouthpiece?
No, my darling.
Are you her spokesperson?
No,
but
I'm not.
Keep chiming in.
No, I'm not.
And speaking for her.
Because we're all sitting here talking together.
No, actually, we're talking.
I feel like what really did it for me was when everybody left and Teddy just tried to have like a real moment to read and was like, can't we, like, I don't really care about this anyway. Can't we just move on? Like, let's just agree. Like, let's move on. And Dorit's like, not if you're going to be a psycho.
Are we fine? Let's just get over it.
Teddy, I'm not going to get over it if you keep acting like a psycho bitch.
And I was just like, oh my God, she's waving the white flag.
Right.
Like, please, like, let's just put it to bed.
And it was weird to me to see Dorit saying, you're psycho, in such a harsh way, but then joking right after that with Kyle, and be like, don't you look at me over your glass like that, and like laughing.
Don't look over me with your freaking glass of water.
Shut up, I'm drinking water out of a wine glass, can you believe?
No, it's sacrilege.
I was like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, there's so many emotions.
I just found her really rude and very, like, it's like her doubling down on her bad behavior is what always gets her in trouble. It's like people are like, ugh, don't do that. And she's like, well, if you're going to have me do it, I'm going to scream cunt at this party.
Right.
You know, it's like she doubles down and then makes it worse.
Right.
And then also, like, I really don't think Teddy was trying, like, and it was like a complete misunderstanding because Teddy wasn't trying to make any more drama. I think she was just really being candid with Lisa Vanderpump, being like, you know, everyone's so fancy in this group of friends.
Well, and you can tell by that text message she sent to everyone inviting them to her beach house.
Hi, I don't have everyone's email addresses, so here is world's longest text with a crying smiley face.
Like, it just, you can tell when someone is really worried it's not going to go well, so they're over-planning. So, like, hey, everyone, so I was thinking we would do this, and then we could do this, and then we could do that. Like,
and then you don't stay with me, you can stay here. And, like, I just want everyone to be accommodated because, like, but I get why that happened out of this glass conversation, because if, like, glasses aren't good, then, like, what else could go wrong?
Right, what will they think of my twin beds?
Right. It's a very Potomac season one.
Mm-hmm.
They show up to Ashley's beach house situation. I think Teddy, though, and I think Kyle even said this, like, Teddy's not admitting how much it is affecting her. So she was just like, yeah, no, I didn't like that. It made me feel bad. That's all she has to say.
Right.
But she's like, she's like, no, it's fine. I don't. She wants to be the person that doesn't care.
Right.
But she cares.
Everyone cares.
Everyone cares. Okay, moving on. Vanderpump Rules. A lot going on this week.
Yeah.
Scandal. Lies. All right. Videotape. No. Sex, lies, and videotape. What's that?
It's a movie.
A movie.
I feel like this whole episode could be wrapped up in one name. Logan.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I just like thought in general we should talk about the fact that Brittany's family's in town.
Definitely.
And poor Jax, how that affects him.
That face to me rivals the just out of surgery nose face.
Yes.
That Tom Sandoval gave him in a portrait like Andy Warhol's himself.
Yes.
That's what he does.
No.
That
just
look.
Did the face
I just did the face that Jax does when he sees Brittany. But then another surprise, just a few hours later or days later, I don't know.
Her sister walks
her
in.
Her sister walks in.
It's so funny because it's, you know, how you dress for going out is so different based on where you are. And so to see her show up in like cutoffs and like a t-shirt, like next to all these girls who were just like glammed out, I was like, oh, I wonder if she feels out of place.
Was she wearing, I thought, I liked her yellow sweater. I liked that.
Okay.
I thought that, I didn't see the cutoffs. But also like, that's a whole other thing that they're doing too.
Right.
As I think, what did he call her?
Bootleg Kardashian.
Yeah, but he said something else. Look at your nails.
The fakest one in this building.
You're fake from head to toe. You have no personality. You're nothing. You're a bootleg Kardashian. All you care about is a selfie.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Anyway, we're of course talking about this altercation between Schwartz and Sheena, which came out of an altercation between Sheena and Kristen, which then Lala interjected herself.
Because all Lala was trying to do was make everyone friends, and then that kind of went left.
Right. Her head kind of exploded because she was like, what is wrong with all of you? Just get along.
I am all about female empowerment, and so I'm in this zone of I just want power of the pussy. I want every single pussy to just f-ing get along.
I love when she had that outburst because then they showed Stassi being like,
and it's kind of fun to have a new friend that's like f-ing insane.
That was so great. And normally I'm totally feminist, power of the pussy, but I think it's a fine line. We cannot reward bad behavior just because you're also a woman.
Mm.
So, like, I don't want people to get out of being accountable for their actions just because we're both women, so we should forgive each other.
Right.
Like, that's just as bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't forgive, like, anyone, so.
Right. So, yeah. So, I didn't know if I was, like, saying that, I'm referencing the fact that, like, I can't decide if Katie owes Sheena an apology. Or, like, who's in the wrong?
I mean, yeah, I just think that their whole history has been...
That.
Like, Sheena said, here's the thing about Katie. She's always been a fucking bitch. And it's just like, yep, that's... I mean, that's how she is always going to see it. Because they didn't have a great start. Didn't have a great middle either. And if Katie wants to be nice now, either take it or don't. But, like, don't shit all over her because she's trying to be nice to you.
Yeah, but I also can get the, like, just don't talk to me then.
Right.
You know? But of course.
But.
That doesn't happen here.
I was very happy that Schwartz stood up for his wife.
Finally.
Yeah, look at your nails. You're the fakest person in this whole building. Oh, my God.
Schwartz is standing up for his wife for the first time. Bravo, Gina. Schwartz.
Gina.
Bravo.
Gina.
You're being a fan for
finally.
Finalmente. I just kept getting flashes to so many times of the episode to that night when it was Sheena's birthday party, or Peter's birthday party, ironically, when she gave him a lap dance, and then Tequila Katie came out and was screaming at her, and Schwartz would not take Katie's side.
Right.
So this was like exact, like, here's your chance, bro. You can, like, make up for it. It's the exact scenario again.
Yes.
And he did.
He did.
And I thought it was a little over the top, but I loved the next day when he was telling Lisa Vanderpump, she was like, why are you proud of yelling at a woman right now?
Right.
And he's like, because I stood up for Katie.
I was way out of line and completely disrespectful to Sheena.
Okay, hold on a second. Why are you telling me this that you're proud of it?
Well, I thought you might like to hear that I stood up for Katie, which...
About bloody time.
And I thought that Lisa said something very interesting and that I loved because she was like, well, that's the whole thing, right? You have to publicly always back that person up, but privately you can be like, hey, that was a little f***ed up and talk about it.
Right.
But
that is kind of the premise of marriage.
Well,
it's like publicly you stand up for your spouse and then privately you can work it out.
Publicly, you have to have my back. That's what you signed up for, dude.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep.
I just want to get to the fun thing.
Oh, but we didn't even talk about Bootleg Kardashian.
Oh, right. So his way of sticking up for Katie was to say to Sheena,
you're fake from head to toe. You have no personality.
And then he calls her a Bootleg Kardashian.
You're a Bootleg Kardashian.
Which, if Sheena's anything like me, which I think we're kind of similar.
Okay.
She takes that as a compliment.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Like Kardashian's in it, so you're good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I even remind you in any way of a Kardashian, I'm doing okay. Right?
I think so.
So, maybe not an insult.
Maybe not.
We'll check in with Sheena someday in the future and see what she thinks.
Yeah. It was interesting because, you know, I've been watching all the old seasons back to back to back. And Sheena has been like a guy's girl. Like,
right.
She's always with the guys and the guys always back her up. So this is the first time we've really kind of seen her butt heads with one of the guys. So I wonder if it's going to last.
I did like that she just went for the jugular, though.
And all you care about is making out with f***ing chicks in bars.
It's like all of these people forget, don't throw stones, man.
Yep.
you're all living in glass houses.
Yep.
They all have cracks already. But moving on to the real meat and potatoes, or should I say sandwiches with ranch or taco?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Logan of the whole thing.
So I was like, what's wrong with you? You know, and he's like, I'm upset James isn't coming. And I said, well, why? He's like, you don't know that we're f-ing? And I said,
he said that.
Yes. He said that to me. Yeah, he was like, welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah.
What a creep.
We had the forethought to talk to Brittany about what you saw in this week's episode. We're just that good to you guys, okay? Mm-hmm. So when she came in, we were like, we specifically want to ask about this future episode in which your sister accidentally gets in the middle of all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back.
We love it so much. Do you also have that in your home?
Yeah, we have it in his bathroom in his little red room. I don't call it a man cave, but I call it a red room.
Like 50 Shades of Grey?
I wish, no.
It's like, get this on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's like, he's got like all the jerseys and stuff from his favorite players up, but we did a red wall because he likes the Red Wings.
Got it.
So I'll just call it the Red Room.
That's amazing.
Is that portrait that Tom did still up?
It's in the his bathroom, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's too good to pass up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was surprised how like much it looked like him. I was like, that's not terrible. That actually looks like
that one?
Oh, no. The one that he painted at the
wine and paint.
Oh, I
thought you were talking about that portrait. I was like, yeah, it's in the bathroom.
No, we just talked about
that. Oh, I honestly didn't see the one he painted.
Oh, really?
I don't know what happened to it. I've seen the one that Schwartz painted of Sandoval.
Right.
Yes.
But I haven't seen the one Jax did. Still.
He left it there.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't need to take this with me.
Guys, we are here with Brittany Cartwright. This is your first time to be on our podcast, so thank you for coming
and
talking.
Me.
Is Jax here with you?
He is at the hotel with my two dogs.
Oh, nice.
He's babysitting.
So he's like, he's the supporter boyfriend this trip around.
Yeah. He was at Watch What Happens Live last night, but I was like, you're staying in the green room. This is my night. And I knew you.
That's amazing.
I love that. Like, I need to be able to talk if I could, you know, I didn't want it to be weird. Andy asking him questions or something. I wanted to be able to finally say some stuff.
He was here not so long ago, and we were like, oh, is Brittany here? And he's like, she had to go home early because there was like a pet sitting issue.
Yeah, our dog sitter like went to Mexico or something crazy and like was having a girlfriend watch him, and we didn't even know any of it. Mm. And my dogs were at the door barking all the time, and Katie lives down the hallway, so she texted me, and I like started freaking out and crying. They're basically my children. I don't have kids. They are my kids. So I just picked up and left early and went home.
Because I cannot. Dog mom.
Yes. I try. But it just broke my heart thinking they were sitting there crying at the door, you know?
Like, yeah.
Oh, God, it broke my heart.
Ugh, I loved that moment this season. I mean, it was heartbreaking, but when you were just, like, crying and, like, drying your tears with the puppy.
Dogs help so much. Like,
absolutely.
I couldn't imagine people who have dog allergies. Like, I feel so sorry for you. I can't even imagine that. But dogs help so much. When my papaw passed away, I got Kingsley that day. Aww. Like, we got him a couple days early, and he seriously helped me so much.
That's
dogs
so
are the best.
Sweet. They are. Yeah. They're just, like, unconditional love.
All the time. No matter what I do, if they get in trouble, I come right back, and they're happy to see me again, you know, no matter what. I love them.
Well, how is Jax?
He's having a really hard time right now, you know, going through a lot. You know, it's just up and downs. You know, it hits him all the time that his dad's gone, and it's just a lot to deal with. He's never really lost anybody that close before, and I don't know. It's just a really sad situation. It was very sudden, and he was very close to his dad, and I think it's kind of woke him up, and he's like, I really just want to be like my dad. Like, he is, like, making changes, and he's making, you know, he's trying to be a better person. And it's just such a sad thing to go through, though. It's absolutely so sad. His dad was an amazing guy. Amazing. I loved him. I'm so glad I got to know him. I feel blessed because I got to know him. Like, he was awesome. The way I got to know him the best, like, I was so nervous to go meet Jax's family, his mom and his dad. And once I get there, his dad loves Fireball. So we just start taking Fireball shots together. And I was like, okay, you're easy to talk to now. Yeah. Like, there was no more awkwardness.
Yeah.
Like, he just immediately was just so open. And his mom was very nice to me and very open, too. But his dad just taking shots of me, like, so chill. And I don't know. It's just so sad that he's gone.
Kind of sad.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that we didn't get to know him also as fans. Because I know. I feel like it does. It changes your perception of people. Like, you have a more well-rounded perspective of, oh, that's who this person is. You know? Yeah. And we don't get to see that part of Jax.
Oh, of course. His mom, you know, his mom was on the show before, I believe. But his dad is completely different. Like, yeah. His vet dad's very quiet, very prideful, you know, very hardworking man. Like, he's just so cool. Such a cool guy. Had a big mustache. Like, you know, he was just a lot of fun. Had a lot of friends. I mean, just a good guy. But he's a lot quieter and more, way more calm than Jax would ever be.
Right.
I know you talked a little bit about it on Watch What Happens Live last night, and you mentioned Jax is going through a lot of changes right now. He's wearing the wedding ring, and that was his dad's, I'm assuming?
He has his dad's wedding ring. That ring that he's wearing, I wish he was here because I don't know where he got that from.
Oh.
I don't know how to explain this. A lot of people have been asking me, like, why he wants to wear it. I think he likes it. I don't think whenever he was wearing it at first, he was even thinking, like, it's on my wedding finger. But now people know it and they see it. And I don't know. I'm just like, I think he's just, I don't know. I wish I knew how to explain it, but I don't. Like I said last night, I was like, maybe he's getting the itch. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, good. Keep
yeah,
it on.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. I'm like, I'm not going to tell him to take it off. Wear it. It's fine. And then I had a ring on my middle finger, and everybody was like, hey, Brady has a ring on. I'm like, can you count? Yeah. It's on my middle finger. But that, yeah, people were going crazy about that. And I was like, I'm sure if that happens, everyone will know about it. Like, it's not happened yet.
Jax, whenever he's in, he always says, like, I never watch the episodes. And I believe him.
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch the episodes?
I've watched a bunch of them in the past. This season, I haven't watched any. I even talked to Bill, who's our head producer, and I was like, when do you think I can start watching them? And he was like, after, like, whenever your mom comes in, like, around that time. So, next week, I'm going to start watching.
Why not?
It's just, I went through so much, and I don't want to see it again. Like, I know it's happening, and I know the whole world is watching it. Yeah. But for me, it's like, if it's not, I'm not seeing it, it's not there. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's just way too hard to go back and rewatch it. I wish somebody could make me a collage of all the funny things that everybody has done.
Right.
And just I could see all that stuff and not the parts of that Jax and I like fighting and I don't know. And it also sucks because you don't see like what they're saying to their friends or, you know, what he's saying about me in interviews or anything like that. And like watching it back after we're already trying to make this huge change and we've already decided that we want to work things out, it's not a good idea. Because I'm going to go back and be like, he said that about me? And why would I do that if I'm trying to move forward?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean,
that's the thing that's hard about it.
There has been such an outpouring of support from fans, though. Yeah. Do you feel that? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, there's so many people out there who are amazing to me and are so nice and everything else. It's just the cyberbullies that I can't stand.
So I was going to say, like, those must stand out more, even though they're probably fewer.
Yeah, and it sucks because, you know, I don't ever want to promote any kind of negativity ever. Like, I know that, like, what people are saying on the show is not awesome, but I can't control what's put on the show. I can't control what's put on my social media and what comments and everything are on there. So if somebody's sitting there being so mean to me and they're a grown adult, I don't want a child who has an Instagram account, just got one, 12 years old or something, going and looking and seeing grown adults talking horribly to another person they've never met and think that's okay. Because then they're going to grow up and they're going to be a bully or they're, you know, it's just going to be normal for people.
Right.
Like, so I just delete and block people and it's just what I'm going to keep doing as long as I can see them all. Mm-hmm.
Such a positive attitude because I know some people do kind of interact with the haters.
We've seen it take down Bravo celebrities. You get too in your head.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And everybody's like, well, you put it out there. I'm like, yeah, I get that. Like, it is a reality show. We do put things out there. But I'm still a human being. I still have feelings. And I try to be nice to everybody. So why can't you be nice to me? Like, I just don't get it. I just don't get why people want to go out of their way to be mean to other people.
Yeah. we kind of wanted to go back to the beginning because we didn't see the very beginning of you and Jax's relationship.
Okay.
But probably near the beginning. How long had you been dating when you came on the show?
Jax and I had probably like three weeks, I think, by the time I first came up there to L.A.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, it was fast.
Yeah. And how much later did you move in?
Let's see. I ended up moving in like 2.5 months later.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were fast. And almost 3 years later, we're still together.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we've obviously had a bumpy road, but
still. I mean, what was it about him that made you like, I'm going to kind of
pick up everything and go?
Yeah. We just had that instant spark where we were so comfortable with each other. I thought he was so good looking. You know, he made me laugh. We had so much fun. He's just like my instant best friend. And that's what he is now. He's my best friend, like, without a doubt. And it's hard to give something like that up, you know, whenever you're going through hard times. And that's mainly why I want to keep working on things. But whenever we first met, it just clicked instantly. It's so weird too, because I don't know why he chose me. I know he probably had a bunch of girls going after him too. It's just crazy how things happen. And I was just there in Vegas to visit my best friend Kara for her birthday.
Right.
And they happened to be in Vegas for Sheena's birthday. I didn't know who he was for nothing. Like I said, I don't really watch reality TV that much. I do now more, but back in the day I didn't hardly, you know. So it was just it's just crazy how everything happens, you know. And now my life is completely different. So, right. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Fateful night in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think I know why he picked you. I mean, you're beautiful, but you are such a nice person.
Thanks.
Why? I mean, like, is there anyone in this group you don't get along with?
No. I was whenever I saw myself yelling at James like that, I was laughing at myself for what I said, because I said something like, I am a sweetheart. But I still felt guilty that I yelled at him like that. Like, I get along with everybody. James was probably the last person that I started, like, talking to or getting, you know, kind of closer to, because I love Kristen so much, and I knew that whole situation was bad. But after she was able to, like, get over things, then he's actually really funny. So he cracks me up every time I see him. So I get along with everybody. Been lucky.
Yeah. That's been so striking on the show, is that everyone's like, of all people, Brittany, she's like the best person ever.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just can't say enough for the girls and how awesome they were to me. Like, they helped me through so much. So, so much. Calling me, checking on me every single day. They still do all the time. You know, because I know it's hard reliving this and having the whole world see it. It's a whole nother thing. You know, it's hard to go through something like this anyway, but having the whole world see it, it's like, woo.
Absolutely.
It's embarrassing.
We have another show, Married to Medicine, and one of the doctors went through a similar situation. And I think she said something really profound, which was like, everyone gets mad at me, but like, 10 minutes before I found out, I was head over heels in love with my
husband.
Exactly. You know?
And I know, like, so many people are getting so mad at me. I'm getting, like, so much hate for staying with him and choosing to stay with him and this and that. But I said it last night. Like, you just can't make your love go away. And before I found out about that, we were doing good.
Right.
I think they even showed it. Like, he was talking about wanting to have kids and everything. I mean, we were working out. We were getting in shape. We were back in a good spot. So I was just completely like, what? Like, it just came out of nowhere for me. So it is kind of like that. The same thing. Like, I'm so in love with him. My mom even noticed. She was like, you really, like, love him. There's, like, different levels of love, but I can tell that you really love him. I was like, I do. I'm glad you said that. Now tell him. Because I hated whenever people were like, she's only staying with him because of the show or because she doesn't want to leave L.A., something like that. And I'm like, oh, really? Are those the only two reasons? It can't be because I love him and because I put my whole entire life into this, like, changed everything for this person, and I want to make things work, but whatever.
Yeah, and I think especially now, choosing to stay with him, I think, speaks to your feelings. But then also everyone's saying, you're a great person, you're independent, it's not like you need him.
No,
like, this
yeah.
idea that you need him is very strange to me.
I know, everybody thinks that. And I'm like, that has never been my personality. I moved into my own apartment at 18 years old. I've always worked. I worked every single day. I worked doubles every Wednesday, double every Saturday, behind a bar, and then I would work every single night till 2 o'clock in the morning. If I didn't have the money, I was picking up other shifts. I mean, literally, I
I don't even think I ever gave myself a day off. I was always working. And then whenever I moved here, I still like to work a lot, but the money was not the same at Hooters. Right. Here, it was completely different. But now, sir, like, I love working at Sir. I love to work. That's never been an issue with me. I will support myself no matter what happens.
Yeah.
People can say that if they want, but that's another thing. They don't know me, actually, you know. They don't know my past and how hard I've worked and how I've supported myself for all those years.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to jump ahead. I saw a cut of the episode where your mom comes to town and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And your sister, Tiffany, is kind of, without her meaning to, put at the center of a big drama.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Tiffany.
I mean,
it was crazy.
So how did she, like, off camera tell you, like, this weird thing just happened?
Yeah, because she had just met Raquel, James's girlfriend. God. My sister doesn't know who anybody is or anything. She doesn't know what's going on. So he gets into an Uber with my sister because we decided to go home after Peter's birthday party. We decided just to go home, whatever. So my sister, being in L.A. for the first time, she was like, well, I still want to go out. And I was like, okay, I know my friends are going to be there. You're going to be fine. So her and Logan get into the Uber together, and apparently that's whenever he starts, like, crying to her and is like – first off, he keeps looking at his phone, and he's just like, or something, like so pissed off. And Tiffany's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, James isn't coming. James isn't coming. And she was like kind of wondering, like, okay, like, what's, you know, well, that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And then she was like, why does that, like, matter so much? And he just was like, we're f***ing dead. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss, but that's what he said to her. He's like, we're having a, and then she was like, oh, I thought he was dating Raquel. And he was like, it's L.A., honey. So my sister was just kind of like, what? You know, because she just met Raquel and James together. So she came home and she was like, I think I should probably tell you this because he was crying to me in the Uber about James. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
I feel like Jax of any, like, and I think we even see his like gut reaction is just to laugh. Like, yeah. He just.
Yeah.
But OK, so then James comes over and calls Logan in front of you guys.
That actually was heartbreaking for me, I thought.
Okay, because I've been in a situation where I had a boyfriend who was definitely messing around, and I was confronting him. He's like, hey, I'll call her. I have to get my phone because it's charging, but I will call her in front of you.
Oh, gosh.
Looking back, I was like, that was really rehearsed. Like, when he went to go get his charger, he was calling her and telling her that this was going to happen.
I didn't even think about that. We knew he was coming over. I mean, he could have talked to him before, but as far as I knew, he was so mad at him, he hadn't been talking to him in a couple days.
Okay.
So as far as I know, you know. He was actually really hurt by that, and, you know, he cried and everything in front of me. And I was just glad that Logan admitted it because I did not want people to think my sister was lying or trying to make up drama.
Right.
That was something I wanted to protect no matter what.
She also does not seem like the type. No. She seems like the type that's like, what did I just walk into?
Why me? My sister doesn't even have an Instagram, a Facebook, nothing. She could care less.
Yeah.
Like, she's just not one of those people who cares about stuff like that. And then that happened, and she was just, she was just kind of like in shock. But that was my main thing. Like, if people started saying my sister was lying or anything like that, I was like, oh, no. Like, you have to admit this. You have, like, just come out and say it. And he did. He did admit it right away. And I was like, whew. But that was like a weight lifted off me because I was not over my family, I will go in on you. Like, that's a different situation. Like, my sister's innocent here. Oh, gosh, that would have been a mess. I'm just glad he admitted it.
I love the excuse of it's L.A.
Yeah, no. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't matter to me.
Do you feel it's so different, though? Like, L.A. versus how you grew up?
There's a lot of different people there. There's a lot of people who are out to get you or who are out to use you for whatever they can. Someone that I know in particular does that. But I can't even say her name. Yeah.
Yeah. So not talking.
Oh, gosh, no. She's complete. I don't even say her name. Like,
right.
I can't stand the thought of her. She doesn't exist to me.
Do you think she did this for the drama?
Yeah, why would you have a recording?
Right. That is,
let's be real. She tried to date Max. She tried to date, she tried to make Max, who's Lisa's son.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to hook up with Shay. There's just so much stuff.
I didn't know that about Shay. While they were together?
No.
After okay.
But still.
But still, no, that's...
Yeah.
Right, it would be something that would make a hubbub. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jax was just an idiot. It's bad. I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't even like saying her name because I'm not going to sit here and bash her or anything like that because I'm better than that. If she wants to do that to me, then go ahead because in the end, I know I did nothing wrong to her. I was very nice to her always. So
yeah.
It just is a sucky situation. But now she doesn't exist to me, so that part of my life is over.
I just got a flash of her in, like, the first episode when she's talking to you, and I was so mad at her.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how can you, like, I was just, I'm was getting taking, mad about it now.
I was buying her shots at the bar.
Like, I couldn't even disgusting. Face you if I were her.
No,
how was she able to do that?
Just a horrible person. Horrible person. That's all I can say. I'm not going to sit here and badmouth her, but I will say she's
we'll
a bad person.
We'll do it for you.
Yeah. I will too. And I should. I should badmouth her. I should just say whatever I want, but I know that I don't know. I just feel better about it in the end, knowing that if she's going to sit there and talk crap about me and make up lies or do whatever she wants to do, like, that's on her. You know, I'm not going to – she's only going to be judged in the end. That's all I'm going to say. She's going to have to deal with her lies and everything herself.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks so strongly of your character.
Thank you. I'm trying to be strong about it. There's times whenever I want to fly off the handle, but that I know she wants that too, so I'm not doing that.
Last question. It's a hard one.
Okay.
You can only pick one group of girlfriends to hang out with. It's the team Kristen, Stassi, Katie.
Oh, my gosh.
Or team Ariana and Sheena.
I don't know.
Come on, Brittany.
I'm sorry.
Life or death.
No, like, I wish I could pick, but I can't. They have all been there for me. Like, I could cry how much they've all been there for me.
Yeah.
I would feel a horrible person picking somebody over the other. Just because no matter what, if they didn't like each other, they were still there for me. So I love them all equally, and I'm just very, very, very glad that I have them. Because it was hard moving up here moving to L.A. and everything. And I was lucky. I had a boyfriend already. I was able to transfer to Hooters at the time. Like, I already had these wonderful people that I had met, was getting to know, but Katie and I became friends instantly. You know, Sheena was a little tough in the beginning, but now she's one of my very best friends. So, I don't know. I just love, and I even love Lala. So, I really just get along with all the girls.
So, there was, like, no hazing or anything?
No, I didn't feel like there was. I mean, in the beginning, like, whenever I met them in Vegas, they thought I was, like, a like a groupie girl or something.
Right.
And they kind of gave me the cold shoulder. But once I got to know them better and everything, like, they were just so nice to me. Sheena was literally the only one who kind of was like,
Because she still thought you were maybe a groupie.
Yeah. It just took her a little bit longer. But I get it. I understand. You just don't know.
Because now you're on the other side and you
I get
see
it.
These people.
Right.
That,
yeah. And like I said, now Sheena's one of my very best friends. So you just don't know who you can trust. And I get that 100%.
Right. I was just going to say, it must be so hard to know who you can trust. Because
obviously, I don't know who I can trust. I mean, you think people are your friends and then you just never know.
Well, I'll say up front, we're Vanderpump groupies, but for the girls.
Yeah.
Just be friends.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Great.
I could seriously talk about this for hours, but thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, anyway,
thanks for having me.
Okay, but I need to talk more about this Logan phone call.
Okay.
Based on James's own talking about it, reactions and everything, I don't think that they did. But everyone else saying that they did, who are around these people way more and are saying this on camera, makes me feel like maybe something did happen. But the reason why I don't think so is that I think James just likes attention, no matter where it's coming from. So I think even if he knew that Logan really liked him and, like, he's maybe taking advantage of it, he needs that attention more than that. And even though if he knows, like, well, this probably isn't great that he's in love with me. And maybe he's maybe he touches me a little bit too much. Or maybe, like, he'll kiss my neck. And, like, that's not great. But what he gets out of the attention is more than the negative that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that they didn't, though. Unless you think he was crying because he felt like he broke up with his boyfriend.
I mean, I think he was crying because no matter what, it was a betrayal of trust for Logan to say that. And Logan does seem like someone who wants the attention of maybe Crying Wolf, but also seeing them together and seeing all the friends' reactions, which they see way more than us, led me to believe it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, all of them saying it, I was like, okay, then maybe it really did happen. I don't know. I just think that, like, he's so earnest with all of it, just being like,
I don't know, I'm sorry.
Whatever the rumor was, I don't even care now.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like I've lost a friend, you know?
I know, I'm sorry.
I don't want you to. You just think you all can get it. You all can be friends.
Obviously, he wasn't a true friend, right? No one's a true friend in this
town. I'm so sorry, Jane.
No one. Everyone gets over.
It wasn't even the gay thing that pissed me off the most, you know? It pissed me off that my friend tried to bury me.
But we know he's a liar. I don't know. It's so hard.
It also makes it harder to believe when he's like, when he was like,
I'm not going to sit here and just like say how much I love okay? Everyone knows, from Lauren Chavez to Lala to the next one. I mean, for sake, James Kennedy.
But I understand what he's saying. Like, we've caught him cheating on people with other people that are all women so many times. So it's like, it was almost like, do we need to talk about how I cheat on everyone with women?
But at the same time, if he's protecting his brand, maybe that's why he's not copping up to it.
I don't know. I get this vibe that he's not lying. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, short of him admitting it or there being a video, like, we'll have to kind of take his word for it.
Totally.
But we're interested to hear what you guys think.
Yes. What do you all think? Yeah, I don't know why. I just.
It's the man tears for me that sell it. Like, anytime a man cries, I just believe them instantly.
Yeah, it's not even that though. It's more like the way he was talking about it in an interview to me.
All right, it's that time of week for Rose and Thorn. Rachel, what was your rose this week?
My rose this week was Tom Schwartz's delivery of, I'm 77%.
I would say there's probably like 77% chance that at least some portion James's penis has been in Logan's mouth.
Because it was such a specific amount, and also like that's not what the percentage I thought he was going to say. And I just like that visual.
What about your thorn?
My thorn is in the next on of Vanderpump Rules, Kevin Lee saying to Katie that she's gained weight and her crying.
Kevin Lee, he was like, you gained a lot of weight. I just don't know why he felt comfortable saying that to me.
You are gorgeous.
I've seen it and I'm not happy, but there's a redemption moment, so.
Okay, we'll see. Because it made me really sad because I love Father of the Bride.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, Father of the Bride has a character, Frank, played by Martin Short, who the inspiration was Kevin Lee.
That is news to me.
How do you know all the things but that, Grace?
That's an article about it on BravoTV.com.
Yeah.
I'll link it in the description.
My rose this week was Jax's reaction to learning about the Logan rumor. Because, like, I think that Jax, well, all the guys on Vanderpump, but Jax especially is just like a 14-year-old boy deep down. And so, like, him just sort of like, like, just giggling in such a way that was like, two dudes, that's funny. Like,
kind of like a Beavis and Butthead. Like,
right, yeah.
When he also said, like, I got my girl and some cold beer in the fridge, and that's all I need. It's a very 14-year-old boy-like vision of adulthood, anyway.
I literally have everything I want. I got my girl, and I got a cold case of beer in the fridge.
My thorn was Dorit's attitude toward Teddy today, in this week's episode. I have been so strongly on Dorit's side. I love Dorit. I just did not like how she handled the situation.
I wonder what she's thinking watching these episodes back.
Right. Well, you can find out by reading her blog at bravotv.com. What were your roses and thorns this week? Tweet us using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. Or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and on Instagram at Suspiciously Small. And speaking of, let's do some fan shoutouts.
Fan shoutouts.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Shouting it out.
So, as you guys know, we did a bonus episode where we interviewed Sheree, and Sheree gave her take on Roachgate. Well, we tweeted it from the Bravo account, Nene responded. Okay, so I'll tell you what Bravo's caption was. It was a quote from Sheree that says, "I don't know how they will recover from this," talking about Kim and Nene. Nene retweeted it and said, "We will never recover. I have nothing to say to neither one of them. It was all unnecessary and uncalled for." So there's that.
Yikes. So what we're saying is Nene Leakes is officially a fan of Bravo Daily Dish's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't use her hashtag, which bummed me out a little, but, you know, all support's good support.
But shout out to Molly for that article and social media post.
At Says Marquita weighed in on last week's Real Housewives of Atlanta. She said, "Just listening to Riley cry made me want to cry. She is so reserved and a sweetie. I think she was feeling anxiety about the call, and I can understand that. Feel better, Riley." And I thought that was sweet, and I agree. Seeing Riley cry is always a bummer. She's such a sweet kid.
And I just want to hop on to say a quick thank you to my fans, specifically Disco Rabbit TV, who simply wrote, "Grace is not boring." Thank you for your fearless feedback. So yeah, keep tweeting and use my HQ trivia code, not Megan's. Okay, thanks.
All right, and that's it. Thanks, guys.
The girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.